Welcome back to Hunting the Prey. Episode 3 is officially underway. And we're back, guys. You know who else might be back? The Minnesota Timberwolves. It's looking like they might be back. We'll definitely fall back on that a little bit later. Right now, I want to just say a couple of short things about why I haven't been posting. Basically, reason number one, I've been super busy. Exams and stuff, you know, that kind of takes a toll. And reason number two is I know a lot of people don't listen to podcasts when we lose. So, therefore, I don't really feel super motivated to make them when it's going like it's a rough period. I was going to make one after Game 7 against Denver. I had two exams in two straight days. So, you know, it's going to be like that sometimes. This is kind of a short time. Not short time, but like not an everyday thing. You know, it's going to be an episode here, an episode there. Not going to be a timeline for it. Okay, let's get to the Wolves stuff. Wolves comeback is the first on my list. It's going to be the Mavs going up 3-0 and going back to Dallas again for game four. It kind of sucks, you know. It's looking pretty rough. I have been pretty vocal on Twitter about how I felt about this team during this series. Game one, I felt still pretty comfortable. After game two, I felt like we were kind of going back to that Grizzlies series when they threw everything out of the window. They have all the chances to win. Game three, that's kind of the first game I feel like they got beaten. They didn't really lose that game, you know what I mean? The Mavs won it. So it is what it is. Game four, I was kind of confident. I've been pretty vocal on Twitter about that as well. And I actually feel still confident in the series. And I know that's very ridiculous to say when you're down 3-0 and you have another game at their home court. But yeah, I felt super, super confident. And they come out again, like I had to sleep tonight, so I watched this game on a train on my way to Oslo, and I kind of like skimmed through it. I think I watched an hour of it, but I watched the most important parts, and they look different, especially that second half. I feel like they came out with something different, and a big reason of that is Cat. And I feel like Cat played such a perfect role in that second half right there. Just playing off what he got. You know, look at Ant, how his playmaking was during that period. And you can see him, like, making the right decisions. You can see him, like, okay, I'm going to dribble. Okay, I can't get anything off of this. Let me see who is the best option right now to get a good shot. And he found the person time and time again. And that's shown the last couple of games. He's averaging 9 assists a game these last couple of games. And I was listening to, I think it was Phil Mackey, talking about a little bit about how Ant might be picking up a little bit of Luka's abilities when it comes to seeing the floor. And I don't know if I would drag it that far, but I think he's actually grown a bit in this series as a passer. I haven't seen him see those passes. Like, there was this one play that's going around where Kyle Anderson, like, directs the whole play, gets Cat to come in the corner, sets a screen for Cat, and you can just see Ant knows it. He knows that's going to happen. He gets, like, around PJ Washington or something. I don't know who that was. And he gets that skip pass to the corner. Easy three for Cat. And again, Cat just taking what comes for him. He takes those easy threes, and if he does that, if he takes what comes to him, he's going to score. He's going to score. And, you know, Cat is such a gifted player that eventually this was going to happen again. So I was never scared about cat. Talking about cat, next thing on my list is something I feel like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna do that after I've talked a little bit of cat, about cat struggles. I want to talk a little bit about cat struggles. Cat has these last three games been the worst version of cat that he can be. And that's the both on the defensive side and the offensive side, because defensively in the Denver series is really where he added value, being able to guard Jokic, and I think that kind of helped him, you know, to have that one matchup, because he doesn't need to play help defense. He doesn't need to think about anything else on the court. Like he kind of just has that one assignment. In this series, he's been guarding a little bit of PJ Washington. He's been guarding like a few people, and every time he guards in this series, he has to be a help defender, and it has not worked. Offensively, it feels forced. It really feels forced at times. He's missed a couple of bunnies that I thought, like, come on, Cat, you got to hit those. And, you know, when the ball doesn't go in, that sucks, especially for a shooter like him. When you see eight threes go out in a game, that sucks. And that's not gonna happen a lot. I don't think Cat is gonna have another three game struggle like this if we advance in this series to the finals. I don't think this is showing what Cat is capable of. I was personally thinking this was gonna be a Cat series, just off the fact that I don't think they have anyone that guards him. Look at PJ Washington, for example. He was guarding Cat in the first half of that Charlotte 62-point game. And Cat dropped 44 on him in the first half. And they took him off. They put Miles Bridges on. Worked way better. But PJ Washington has been great on him this series. They've thrown a couple of different looks at Cat. I feel like most of what he does is kind of forced. And this game, and like I said, especially the second half, this looked like a new Cat. You know, this looked like the Denver Nuggets Cat. This looked like Game 7 Cat. And if we're going to get this Cat the rest of this series, and we're going to get close to the Ant, I think this might go. Let's talk a little bit about what's been frustrating for me these last, like maybe the last week. And you see a lot of talk around about the Wolves, you know, being frauds, down 3-0. You know, that's fair. I think that's fair. If you go down 3-0 and talking trash and you're not really backing it up, then you deserve your fair share of criticism. But where I think this goes too far is with Karl-Anthony Towns. And you know, there's some fair share of, you know, Cat is zesty, he's corny, he changes his voice, and that's cool, but I don't personally think it's funny. I think there's so much more to this guy that you can drag up than him being corny and changing his voice. Like, this guy every year gives out coats. Like he organizes that. You know, he gives to a lot of people. This man gives a lot away. Like, he gets a lot, but he gives a lot away as well. He's loving. He's gone through so much in his career. And there's this one guy that decides, you know what, Cat, he's corny. He's zesty. He talks weird. Let's put out this stupid ass article. And I'm not going to give too much attention to it because I know you've all seen it on Twitter. It's stupid, okay? It's not journalism. It's not good. It's not something you want to read at all. I'm not going to say his name, anything. But this guy basically just wrote that, okay, Cat may have lost all his family. He may give to charity. He may, like, have had the toughest period of his life during COVID. But you know what overshadows all that? He's corny. Such bad journalism. And the fact that SB Nation where this was published, just agreed to posting this at all. It's absolutely a head case. It sucks. It sucks. And I feel bad for Kat because Kat is the person that got me into basketball, like for real. And like watching the guy go through so much and kind of be where he is right now, which is in a good place with his team. At least it looks that way. And he looks like he's happy with the life he has around him. You know, he has his pops, he has Jordan Woods, Chuck. You know, there's a lot of guys around him that I think he's happy to have in his life right now. And I just don't want people on the internet try to ruin it for him. I hate it. I hate the way he's treated in the media and by the general people. And I think we just gotta improve, to be honest. It's a head case for me as well. Okay, that's my little rant of the day. Let's go over to another rant. I want to rant more. I want to rant about Luka and those refs. Seriously, what the hell is that? Especially the foul Kat fouled out on yesterday, which was Luka pump fakes the three. Kat kind of like he doesn't jump, but he kind of skips out to the 3-point line, and then Luka decides to launch into him, and they call a foul. And the 2-minute report just came out right before I hit record, and it said it's still a foul. And I think that's stupid. Because a couple of years ago, 2021, they said, okay, we're going to eliminate this foul where they pump fake and then jump into the defender because it's not a natural shooting motion, and therefore it's not real basketball, right? And if you look at this Luka Doncic play and you tell me that is a real shot motion, that he's actually going for a shot, you're dumb. Like, that is not a real shot. He's definitely going for those three free throws, and he gets them. Cap fouls out. I mean, for Cat, it's not a smart foul. It's not a good foul for Cat at all. But I feel for him, you know, because it's only Luka getting these calls in the league right now. Because yeah, oh, I actually hate those calls. And he bitches so much to the refs, man. I saw the Mavs Muse, I think it was, post like, oh, and complains to the refs and get rewarded for it. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Luka, all the time, every single play, he turns to those refs and say, where's my foul? And I mean, what is he? 6'8"? He's like 215 pounds. He's heavy, man. He's heavy. And he wants to get like a ticky-tack foul. Oh, Kyle Anderson touched my hand. No, it's stupid. It's not fun to watch. Fix it. It's a bad product, man. NBA. Okay. Back to the Wolves. Ant is figuring it out. Ant is a guy that's been kind of up and down this last week. Those two games against the Mavs, in Minnesota were horrible. I was personally absolutely pissed off with him in game two, where he basically threw the game alone by that one turnover. And it just sucks that a guy can have such a good playoff run and then kind of be halted by his own mistakes. And yeah, it sucks to be honest. But I feel like these last two games, he's been more aggressive. He's been more decisive. I mean, the turnovers are still there. There's still some bad shots. He's missing some bunnies here and there. Watching the game four, I kind of saw a lot of shots where I thought, like, hey, if that was Luka, if Luka got to that spot, he would hit that. And I know Ant can hit those shots, but it's just a matter of like, does he have the feeling of it that day? And I feel like it doesn't really matter. The thing that actually matters is if Ant is actually aggressive. Because if Ant is aggressive, it opens up so much around him. Cat has more space. Rudy Gobert has space for the lob. You know, Jaden might have some space to work because his defender is helping off. Mike Conley might veer around the screens. I don't know. Like, there's so much options that opens up from Ant being aggressive down the stretch, and especially when he attacks the paint. I don't really love like the pull-up threes he does in fast break possessions. Just go inside because he can bully ball everyone. I know he can hit a 3-2, but he can bully ball everyone. Just set the pace, and that's what he's doing the last couple of games. He's doing the right thing. They lost game three. That wasn't because of Ant, and they won game four partly because of Ant. And Ant was a big he was a big factor in that. Moving on, there's still life in Mike Conley's old ass. Mike Conley is 36, and this man just put on one of the best performances I have seen in a while. I don't know if you follow T-Wolves Country on Instagram, but each game, shout out T-Wolves Country, by the way, each game he puts out a poll on Instagram, Wolves player of the or Wolves MVP of the game, and he puts out four names and you vote for one of them. Today it was I think it was Ant, Cat, Rudy, and Mike. I was like, Mike, definitely. I thought Mike was the most valuable player on the team this year. No, this year, this game. Thank you. He just played his role. He hit the shots he had to hit. He dished out. He didn't have a single turnover tonight. I mean, this was the Mike Conley of old, and it's just so good to see this guy give everything. He's 36. He told us this was going to be his last chance. He told us he wanted to give everything, and he's given us everything. He's giving his everything, and it looks like it on the court, and my love for Mike Conley grows for each day that passes. They tried Mike on Kyrie last game. I thought he didn't do a horrible job. I mean, Mike Conley just does what is asked of him. And yeah, I might be falling in love with Mike Conley. If I am, that's bad. That's bad. But yeah. That's my Mike Conley rant. Moving on to Kyle Anderson. He might be good again. Kyle Anderson might have figured out that he is getting paid like $8 million a year to play basketball, and that he's actually a good basketball player if he tries. And this series, he's been trying. And this series, he's probably been our most consistent player. Maybe Nas should get a nod here as well. I don't know, Jaden's been pretty good. But Kyle Anderson has been such an instrumental player to this team, this series. And he's guarding Luka, he's orchestrating on offense. How many points did he have in game one? I thought he had like 11 points in game one. Maybe it was game two. Something like that in like 8 minutes. And he's just looking good again. He's taking his shots. He's doing what he has to do. And after that Denver series, I remember I thought, like, okay, next year, maybe we like try to get Leonard Miller in, kind of leave Kyle Anderson in free agency. But now I'm kind of looking at free agency and I'm thinking, like, how's Kyle Anderson's market? What are people going to give him? Because if it's like 3-4 mil, I wouldn't be opposed to paying that for him. And I just think he's so instrumental to this team, this series, and he definitely deserves his praise. And last one, I got to get my Jaden praise in. This is who I am. Okay? I got to praise my boy. So, Jaden McDaniels is blossoming in front of our eyes. You guys had the audacity audacity, the audacity to say Jaden McDaniels shouldn't get paid. They had the audacity to say trade his ass. They had the audacity to say he was washed at 23 years old. You know what the man does? Scores 20 points, 3 games in a row. Then he decides, nah, I'm going to score 0. I'm gonna defend. And then he goes out, scores 15 in game 3. And then he scores 10 in game 4. Almost a perfect role-playing game. I would like him to rebound a little bit more. But you know what? Jaden McDaniels is a future star. Book it. Seal it. Put the money in. Put the house on it. This guy is going to average 20 points next season. He's going to be an all-star. Okay, I'm getting carried away. Jaden McDaniels, everyone. Next up. Next man up. Okay, this has been Hunting the Prey. Thank you so much for turning in once again to listen to me yap for 20 minutes. Next time, we might be eliminated. We might have won game 5. We'll see. Thank you again for listening. I'm going to try to get some guests on soon, so be on the lookout for that. But once again, thank you, and we'll see you.